Timothy Davis is a man sent from God. He has been a pastor. He's been a youth pastor. He's been a preacher. He's been a traveling evangelist. I'll tell you what, God has used this man in a lot of different capacities, but I'm glad I can call him my friend. And a number of years ago, they worshiped in our church. He and his family worshiped in our church, but it wasn't the right time for our connection. I think that's probably been 7 or 8 years ago. But then the Lord brought him back around about 2 years ago, and we instantly connected. We had a dinner, and we started fellowshipping. He's become a Rejoice International partner, which, as you know, is the international arm of our church, reaching out to third world countries for missions and world outreach. And so we're just so excited to have his participation, because he is a great worship leader. He's recorded albums and has a top-selling album that's on the market today. And so he is so gifted and so anointed that sometimes I just sit back and say, God, where was I when you were handing out all of those things? Have any of you felt like that? You wondered, wow, you know, I love to play guitar, but I'm a wannabe. This guy really knows how to play a keyboard. And so I know you've heard him before. I know you love Tim. He is a great, great gift. Would you stand and welcome our word carrier today, Evangelist Timothy Davis.
Praise the Lord. Woo! Stop, you're making me blush. Praise God. And when I blush, it's not just my face, it's my head. So, praise God. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. I look forward to being in God's house. I do. I mean, there's times I know we all don't feel like coming to church. Okay? Can we just get real today? There's times we don't feel like coming to church. We have issues during the week and challenges and, you know, and you get up and you go, oh, I don't know if I want to just lay in bed. This is my only day off, you know. But you know what? Every time I come into God's house, when I leave, I'm just so on fire. The Lord changes me. Changes my mindset. I'm ready for the work week then. Amen. Well, I noticed that this week we're going to go old school. Amen. Today, and we're not going to have things up on the, but I'm going to try to be a little bit more technical today. I actually brought my little, it's not an iPad, it's a Galaxy Pad. Brought that, and so I'm trying to get up on the times. And I tell you what, if I have any issues, I got my copy. So, not my security blanket, but I got my copy. All righty. Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to see you this morning. It's good to see some friends of mine in this church. Bruce, so good to see you again. Love you guys. You know, I was Bruce's pastor at one point. The first church I pastored, actually. They call it in some of the Delta commercials, right smack dab in the middle of the Delta of Mississippi. And pastoring a church sandwiched in between two cotton fields. Seriously. And I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't used to it. But the time that I was there, Bruce got saved and has been serving God ever since. And it's good to have his wife with us. And I want to say it's an honor to be in such an awesome church with some awesome leaders. Pastor James and Candy and, you know, Pastor George and Kathy. I just appreciate them so much. Jason and all of you that play a role and a part in the building of the kingdom of this church. Of God's kingdom. And so, also too, it's good to see Brother David this morning, Pastor David. Appreciate him and his wife, and, you know, very good friends of ours. We just came back not too long ago from Oklahoma and saw God move in a special way. And we're looking at doing some more things like that here real soon to reach a harvest in this last day. Because how many of you know we got to stand? How many of you know we got to reach the lost? We got to reach the lost now. I mean, things are getting serious, and we got to reach the lost. Praise God. Amen. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to share something the Lord laid upon my heart months ago. And God won't let it leave my spirit until He says you're finished preaching it. And so this morning, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say wait a minute. All righty. Pastor James, I love what you said this morning about shaking off the barbecue and the coleslaw. Amen. And I'm going to try to get you out of here so you can go back to those leftovers. Amen. Just don't give God your leftovers this morning. That's all I ask. Just don't give God your leftovers today. Praise God. Somebody come on. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Okay? What are we? We're vessels. It says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." I'm reminded in the scripture where the apostle Paul says, "For we came with you not with excellency of speech or of man's wisdom, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit."
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And I love that Paul said that, because if anybody had that kind of wisdom, he did. Sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the well-known theologians of his day. Amen. I had a hard time pronouncing that. But he said at the feet of Gamaliel, if anybody had an opportunity to boast, it would have been Paul. But Paul says right here to the Corinthian church, the excellency of God, and y'all pray for me this morning because I can't seem to talk. The excellency of God is not of us. It's Him. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I want to talk to you about, and I'm going to go to a couple of other passages of scriptures. But I want to talk to you this morning about the title of this message, for the sake of a title, is called Broken Pieces. Broken Pieces. Now, if you have your Bibles once more, turn to Isaiah chapter 45, verses 2 through 12. I know it's a little bit lengthy reading, but I feel it's very important for us to see this in the Scripture. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 2 through 12. I mean, enjoyed the fireworks last night. It was wonderful, wasn't it? Praise God. Yeah. I was beginning to wonder if they was ever going to shoot them off, but I think they waited for South Haven to finish theirs first. I don't know if maybe that's for safety reasons or something. Isaiah 45, beginning with verse 2. Now listen to what the Lord is saying here. "And I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you treasures of darkness and hidden reaches and secret places, that you may know it, that you may know that I, the Lord, has called you by your name. I am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you. Even though you have not known me, I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none other. I formed the light and created darkness. I made peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. I rain down you heavens from above, and I let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let them bring forth salvation, and let the righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it." Now verse 9. "Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherds, or broken pieces, or broken vessels strive with potsherds." Potsherds are just basically broken pottery. "Shall the clay say to him who formed it, what are you making me thus, or why are you making me such, or why, what are you making me? Or shall the handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord," in verse 11, "the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. You command me. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hand stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. While if that doesn't speak about the awesomeness of God, then I don't know what else does. That doesn't speak of God's omnipotence and God's power. I don't know what else does. Praise the Lord. And so, I want to talk to you about broken pieces this morning. You know, we live in a broken world, right? We live in a broken world. The world can bring hurt and pain. No one is beyond it. Amen? Even some of the great patriarchs of old experienced brokenness at one point in time in their life. Even the great patriarchs of old experienced pain. Look at people in the Bible like David and others that experienced pain in their life. Did they make some bad decisions? Of course they did. And they had to reap from those decisions. But there again, we all are not above pain and being broken. We're not above going through crisis or going through a challenge in our life. It just depends on who we have trust in. Do we have trust in ourselves? Or do we have trust in something else? If your faith is based upon how good you have it in this world, then let me tell you, you're going to be broken. If your faith is based upon how much money you got in your checking account, then you're going to be broken. If your faith is based upon the next law that comes down from the Supreme Court, then you're going to be broken. If your faith is based upon what kind of relationship you have with your spouse or with someone else, you're going to be broken. If your happiness depends on how successful you become in life or in ministry, you're going to be broken. You understand what I'm saying? The key here is focus. What are we focusing on? Where are we going? What are we doing? What is the reason why I believe the Lord says what He says? Now I want you to notice something in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 9. The scripture says, let the broken strive with the broken. Can I say that again so you understand? Let the broken strive with the broken. Now, brokenness can be a good thing. The Bible says, the Lord says actually in the book of Isaiah, that He is near to those who are of a broken spirit and saveth those who are of a contrite spirit. Or He is near to those of a broken heart and those He is saveth such those who are of a contrite spirit. So brokenness is a part of life. I heard a preacher say one time, if we don't have some kind of brokenness in our life, we are never ever going to be able to challenge ourselves to rise up from defeat. Amen. The Bible says a righteous man will fall 7 times. He will fall, but he will get back up. Yes. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter how hard you fall. It's how you get back up, church. Yes. Amen. It doesn't matter how big the impact. It's how much you get back up. Yes. But now if brokenness gets to the place in your life, well, it's completely and utterly destroyed you. Or put you in prison. Or in its grips to where you can't feel victory ever again. Then something's wrong. God never intended for you to be in that place. That's why He says in the Scripture, let broken people strive with broken people. So therefore, God is saying here in the Scripture, you have a choice. Here's the choice. Either you rise up and let me recreate you and let me do something in your life to change you, or you will remain broken with everybody else. So we have a choice. It's never God's intention for us to be enslaved in our brokenness. Amen? Now let me tell you, I've experienced brokenness in my life. I've experienced some great loss in my life. I've experienced brokenness that I never thought I would ever experience. But I can tell you this, and I'm sure a lot of you can testify with me. I can probably go to each person in this room and you can tell me about some point in time in your life where you've had some brokenness in your life. You've suffered some crisis, some loss. The important thing was that you didn't stay there. The important thing is I didn't stay there. I could have stayed there. I could have said, no, I'm not going to get up from this. No, there's no hope. No, I can't change. No, this is beyond God's control. And you see, that's just what the enemy wants you to think. The enemy wants you to think that you can't be fixed. The enemy wants you to think that you can't change. The enemy wants you to think that the circumstance you're in, that you're enslaved to and you'll never get out of. But you see, we as God's children have a choice in the matter. It's like the person that goes out and tries to rescue a person that's drowning. The person that's drowning's got to want to receive the help, right? Right? What sense does it make for a person that's drowning and a lifeguard comes out and says, let me save you. And he says to him back, no, I don't want to be saved. So God says we have a choice. Either we can rise up from our brokenness or we can continue to strive with everyone else that's broken. He says those who are in prison to pain, let them strive with others that are in prison with pain. Let those who are broken in pieces be broken until they call out to God and God restores them. How many of you ever been to a jail? Whether you ministered there or what? You notice all the prisoners are in one building? Amen? I've never seen a prisoner called a prisoner after he's been set free. He may have been called an ex-con, or he may have been called, he used to be in prison. We can all say that about our lives because we're saved. Well, I used to be in prison to myself, to sin. Amen? But Paul says we are no longer entangled into those things anymore. Amen? So, every prisoner I've seen has had other prisoners. That's what God is saying here, right here. If you're going to be enslaved, you're enslaved with everybody else that's enslaved. But that's not what God wants of us. Praise the Lord. And so, the scripture says here, let broken pieces. He calls it potsherds. Let them dwell together. Now, in the book of Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 26. The Lord showed this to me not too long ago in scripture. Now here we're talking about vessels. I actually had this message named at one other time called Broken Vessels. Because you know what? We're all vessels. Amen. The Bible says we're earthen vessels. But God pours His Spirit into us. Amen? And then what are we to do? We're to empty out what God has given us to the world. Amen? I see this church as a filling station. Yes, we come together to get filled. It's not meant for us to leave our gift here. It's not meant for what God has given us on the inside to hang on to it and put a cap on the top and not allow it to be poured out in the lives of other people. Amen? God never intended for us to be a vessel full of His Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the water of the washing of the Word, and then we cap it off and says, okay, I'll just go to church on Sunday, but I won't minister to anyone else during the week. He never meant for that. He gives for us to give. He says, I've freely given to you, then we're to freely give to others, right? So that says, He says, so if you see a brother in need who needs a drink of water, don't hold back your compassion. Don't hold back what God has given you. Don't walk away from someone that you see hurting and broken and you not try to lift them up out of their brokenness because God lifted you out of your brokenness. Hallelujah. And I hope that doesn't sound harsh. But we're at that place. In a moment in time, God has called us to a day like this for such a time as this to reach a harvest before it's too late. And he says so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. He says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but there's also vessels of wood and clay for some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Notice what he's saying there. He says, if you're going to be a vessel of honor, meet for the master's use, for the king, for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to be a vessel for him, he says, separate yourself from the ones that are dishonoring. Separate yourself. Now, I know that's a big challenge. Amen? Because I want to be a vessel of honor. I want the Lord to be able to say, okay, what vessel am I going to use today? There you are, Tim. I want to use you today because you're a vessel of honor. Yes. You know, all of us can be vessels of honor. But notice again, it again correlates with the scripture that I read to you in Isaiah 45:9. He says to separate yourself. If you're going to remain broken, remain broken. Yes. Strive with the brokenness. I never meant for you to be in that place. I want to rise you up. I want to raise you up from your brokenness. He says the same here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now what I'm about to share with you, I just want you to have an open heart for. Amen. The Lord showed me three different types of vessels that we all could become a part of if we're not careful. How many of you got pottery in your home? Yep. Some kind of vase. Some of them may be expensive. Me neither. Some of them may not be expensive. How many of you ever met people that everything they touch turns to gold? I knew a lady like that. I had a pastor friend of mine like that. Him and his wife would always go to these thrift stores or garage sales. And she found this vase at a garage sale. It had beautiful markings on it, beautiful. I mean, it was just, the artistry of it was astounding. Showed it to me. And it had this type of metal running through the glass. She went and had it appraised. It's worth about $800. You know how much you paid for it? 50 cents. 50 cents. And that metal that was running through it was silver. Pure silver. I thought to myself, my goodness, I can't even run across something like that. I had a watch one time I thought was expensive. Had a friend of mine give me. I took it to the jewelry store. He looked at it, said, it's a fake. Oh, I figured. It's supposed to be worth like $10,000. I was going to cash in. I'm telling you, I was going to cash in. Woohoo! I got a Tag Heuer watch. You know? Supposed to be very expensive. I said, well, he told me it was gold. He said, that's not gold. It's not gold. And it's a fake. Great. Where did he get it? Oh, he brought it from overseas. Okay. Anyway. So, but how many of us got vessels in our home? We've got pottery. We've got things that we use. Right? When we have somebody come over, that's very important. I'm going to tell you right now, if I invited Pastor George and Pastor Kathy to my house, I would get out my best vessels to serve him. Because I want to honor him. He's a man of God. You don't know the impact you've made in my life. I appreciate you and love you so much. If you had the president come to your house, what would you do? You'd do the same thing. You'd get out your best silverware. You'd get out your best plates, your best dishes, your best chinaware. You know, that china you got in that china cabinet that's been sitting there, you know, for years, just, you know, collecting dust. You know what I'm talking about, right? You never use it until somebody important comes by, right? You know, the mayor or somebody else, or you got somebody you haven't seen in a long time that you want to honor, you get that best stuff out. Yeah. That's what Paul is saying here to Timothy. He says, we're to be vessels of honor. We want to honor our king. Amen? Amen? But if we're not careful, then we can wind up being in one of three categories. The first category is a cracked vessel. How many of you got a cracked vessel in your house? Huh? I do. I actually got a piece of pottery that I love and it fell and cracked. And you know what I did? I put it back on the shelf. And I turned it around so nobody could see the crack, right? How many of you got vessels in your home that it's got a crack that you can barely notice? You can put it on the shelf, and even from afar away, people can walk into your house and go, "That's a pretty vase." And you're going, "Yeah, I hope they don't see that crack." You see, a vessel that is cracked can be covered, or it can be ignored. It still looks good. It looks nice on the shelf. It displays its beautiful colors, workmanship. Let me go a little bit further. That vessel's even anointed. That vessel has great talent. That vessel has credentials. That vessel has clout. That vessel holds a high position. That vessel has a calling upon its life, but the vessel is cracked. That vessel that's cracked can also show years of worn or experience years of turmoil, pressure, it's cracked, and yet be functional and useful, right? It can be, have a crack in it, but still be useful. It may not be useful for honor, but it may be useful for other things. You might not want to put anything liquid in it, right? Because it will leak, right? You might be able to put potpourri in it, smell good, right? Make everybody think you got your act together. Make everybody think everything's okay. I smell good. I've got a great aroma about me. I've got a great personality. Oh, God.
Hello.
Everything's great. But on the inside, there's a crack. Everybody can't see it right off the bat, but they get a chance to know you for a little while. They may see that crack eventually, right? Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You know, you might be able to put pecans in it, put it in the center of your table. You know, somebody can't see that crack because the pecans are holding, you know. But the thing about it, a cracked vessel, you can't put any pressure on it.
All right. That's good.
No pressure, because it will further damage that vessel. And that same vessel, when you bought it originally, you had other plans for it. You had other plans, but something happened, and when it cracked, you got upset. Right? When it cracked, when you faced that problem in life, when that all of a sudden that crack appeared because of something that happened, maybe a decision that was made, or maybe there was some kind of shaking going on in the house. I don't know. Maybe testing. I don't know. But somehow or another, a crack formed. And you knew, I can't use that for the capacity that I originally bought it for.
Right.
So what has to happen? It has to be fixed. If you're going to use it for the original plan that it was going to be used for, it has to be fixed. It has to be repaired. It has to be restored. Talk to me later. I know somebody can do that for you. I'll tell you who he is here in a minute. Then, the second vessel, I've got to hurry here, is a broken vessel. Okay, we won't use the word broken. We'll just say chipped.
All right.
Okay?
Good on that.
Or it's got a tiny hole in it. I've got a vessel at home that fell, and the back side of it broke off, and it left a hole in the vessel, and I just turned it around.
There you go.
So nobody can see it. Can't put nothing in it. It still shows its beauty. It still shows it's on the outside, it looks like it's functional. You can still display it, but you have to hide the chip.
Yeah, right.
So you purposely hide the hole or the chip. You don't want to display any imperfection. You don't want to display any hurt. You don't want to display any pain that happened to that vessel. So you hide it. You put it in hiding. You just cover it up. Or you put it in a place somewhere in the house where it's really not that noticeable. Or like the hallway, when people, I got to go to the restroom, they walk right past it. Because they got to go to the restroom so bad, they're not going to stop and look at the vessel and say, "Oh, then," and turn it around, "Oh, that's pretty." No, they're going to go straight to the restroom. And you put it in a place that seems kind of obscure. A place where no one really can see the damage that's done. You hide it. You cover it up somehow or another. You put it in a dark room, maybe, where, you know, or you put it in a room where, like the guest room, nobody ever sleeps in the guest room. Nobody ever comes around in that room. I don't want to open that room up and let people see the damage that's been done. Beautiful creation. Yet it had an unfortunate event. Something happened that made it fall. It lost its balance. It stumbled. Came tumbling to the floor. It didn't shatter. Don't say it shattered. Don't you dare say it. I'm shattered. I don't like it. People judge me and say I'm shattered. It was just damaged, okay? It's just damaged, that's all. It's okay. It's just damaged. I can handle that. I can take care of that. I can handle it on my own. I don't need nobody else. Let me tell you something. I'm good at fixing damages. I'm good at fixing a damaged vessel. I'll just hide it away for a while. I'll just put it on the back burner. It'll be something I'll do later. I know it's a priority. Yes, I know it's a priority. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put it in the back room for a while and shut the door, and I don't have to look at it no more.
Oh.
Everybody else can look at it and say, "Oh, that's pretty." But I know on the inside. I know it's damaged. I feel the Holy Spirit. It survived the fall. A person, it actually would say, "I survived the fall. I survived that fall." But the damage hasn't been repaired. I'm okay, but no, you're not. The damage is still there. You can't even hold water. You can't hold nothing. No pressure whatsoever. Or you'll crack, or you'll break, or you will shatter under that pressure. The damage will be furthered. The damage will go more. You will have more damage if you take on another challenge. So you shut down. You shut it in the back room. You say, "I'm not going to deal with it anymore." I'm speaking to somebody here this morning. So, to fix it, it has to be recreated, transformed, because sometimes a hole is too big to repair. Last one. I talked to you about the cracked vessel. I talked to you about the vessel with the chip or hole in it. The last vessel I want to talk to you about is the shattered vessel. They fell so hard, shattered them. Some people are shattered. You know, vessels can fall, you know. Y'all know that? Never think you're above it. Never think you're above falling and shattering. happens to the best. Happened to some of the greatest men in history. They fell. Shattered. Lives broken in pieces. Never think you can't be shattered. Take heed. When you think you stand, lest you fall. And let me tell you something, church. Despite popular belief, despite the trends that I see happening in the church today, because I travel and see it all, despite the programs, despite the contemporaryism we see, despite everything else and the music and everything, I was telling Brother Pat this morning, we need more than just that. We're not going to reach a harvest. We're not going to reach a harvest through that alone. Don't get me wrong, I think we need to be up with the times. Don't get me wrong, I think we need to be contemporary with the times. But I'm going to tell you something, that's not what's going to win a lost and dying world. It's almost like churches are in competition. Can I just share from my heart? It's like churches are in competition with one another to see who can have the brightest lights and the best looking stages. And we've lost focus. And you know what I see? I go to many churches and I see people that are cracked. Many people that are broken. Many people that are shattered. And what is the church doing? The church is trying to be the next big concert in the city. Listen, I know I almost fell for all that mess. Because I can get up behind a keyboard and entertain you, but I don't want to entertain you. I want the presence and power of God. It's not through all of that to change us. It's time. Let me tell you something. You can't help a world that needs healing until you are healed. Vessels have a tendency to fall. You can't judge too harshly. You could be shattered on the floor right now. You could be shattered right now. For this vessel, the world has fallen apart. Not just themselves, but everything around them. There's no place for this vessel just to be put into the shattered vessel pile. It can't stand no more. It can't display any creativity anymore. It can't show off its beautiful colors anymore because it's shattered. I bet it made others cry when it fell, when it was shattered. Now it's a hopeless, helpless situation. Not useful for anything but to be put in the pile with the rest of the shattered vessels. It will have to be made all over again. Is there hope? Is there hope? It will have to be made all over again. It will have to be a new creation. But let me tell you something. I know a master pottery man. I know the master potter. I know a man right now that can save any situation. Hallelujah. I know because I was once shattered and God recreated me. I know because I was once broken and God recreated me. I know because I was once cracked in my foundation and God recreated me. Hallelujah. And that's why I can tell you, I'm not just telling you, I'm speaking from experience. Because the potter has a passion for his work. Hallelujah. The vessels are the works of his hands. And he wants to make his vessels, vessels of honors. Those vessels he created. He didn't create for no reason. Hallelujah. Can somebody say praise the Lord? He didn't create you for no reason. You're not here by accident. It was not an accident that your parents may have said, oh, you're here by an accident. No, you were created for a reason. There's a reason you exist on the face of this earth. And let me tell you something. It was because of the master potter.
There you go.
Hallelujah! Yeah. The vessels are for His use. The Master's use. Let me tell you, just want to ask you this morning, I'd like for us all to stand. Just want to ask you this morning, do you fall in any of those categories? I want to ask you this morning, are you cracked? Are you broken? Are you shattered? Let me give you a news flash. Every one of those categories, the vessel, has to be repaired. Amen. It has to be transformed. It has to be restored. It has to be recreated. And only the Master Potter can do that.
Right.
Only Him. Not putting your best foot forward. Not trying harder. You know what it's all about? You know what I've learned it's all about? It's not about how strong I am and how I can be resilient against something that comes my way and how I can raise my shield and my right arm and say, no, this is not going to affect me and touch me. No, let me tell you something. The Bible says that we are in Christ, and it's through Him that we move and breathe and have our being and have authority in this world. Let me tell you what it's all about. It's one word. Surrender.
That's it.
It's all about surrender. Amen. Because the Bible, I read in my Bible, where the battle's not mine. It's the Lord's. Hallelujah. How many of you can testify to that with me this morning? The battle's not yours. It's His. Hallelujah. Brokenness brings us to God. Brokenness brings us to the place where we realize it's Him and only Him that can restore me. But let me tell you something else. And this will be a shock to some of you. But you can't fix yourself. You can't fix yourself. The life of a Christian is the life of surrender to Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed.